Man, we got a lot to cover tonight. Are we on? We on live, live in action. I love you. I appreciate everybody. Welcome to everybody that's listening to us tonight from all over the place. We are just really growing in different media platforms, and we really thank the Lord for that. And very grateful that we can reach who we're reaching, and just seeing Jesus get glorified. Amen. Because it's not about a person, it's not about a personality, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want y'all to just keep praying, man. Keep praying for the influence and favor to continue to happen for us. And, you know, people are looking for real. They're looking for transparency. They're looking for hunger. They're looking for a church that would pray. People are contacting us all the time for us to pray. So it's quite amazing. I do want to tell you, an opportunity was given to me. I'm going to put it on social media probably tonight or tomorrow. Everything just got worked out, all the details. But I'll be doing a live broadcast tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central, and it'll be 7 p.m. here. And it will be on, you can go to this website, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and we'll be on there live, 5 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it will be with Pastor Dan Catlin from prophecyhour.com. I'm new to his ministry. I really don't know much about him. I studied a little bit on his website, doing a great job over in Kansas City. Their church is really helps the homeless. They open their doors to homeless, feed the homeless. And what I saw, I really liked on his ministry. And he's had a lot of known names on his radio broadcast. So I want to encourage you to, first of all, pray for me. More influence, more opportunity to win people to Christ and wake people up and encourage the body. But also another opportunity to have a brother in the Lord and get to know this pastor. So you can go to his website, prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Very easy to write down, prophecyhour.com. And the interview will be archived 9 o'clock, it'll be 9 o'clock Central. So anytime, you know, Friday or whatever in the weekend, you want to hear the interview, you can do that. So we're real excited about it, and I'll put that out on social media, see if anybody wants to tag along and listen, and most of all, to pray for us. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be upon this. And if you go to his website, you're going to see, I mean, there's at least 10 different platforms you can listen to this, Google and YouTube and just places I've never even heard of. So he's been doing this for a while, and so there's a lot of different places we can preach the gospel. Amen? And maybe we can make some contacts with him. Father, we just seal all that up in the blood. We seal everything up. We look forward to a great opportunity to speak tomorrow, and we just give it all to you, Jesus. Put the right people at the right place at the right time to turn that button on, to dial in, to listen, so that we can speak a word in season, Father. We just want to glorify you, Jesus, and be the mouthpiece for you in this hour. Father, bless this time of teaching, and thank you so much for your grace. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, so we get that out of the way. And great things are happening, amen, and Ignited, and we've got a lot of things God's doing for us. So battle for the mind. Battle for the mind. This has been a really fun teaching. I've enjoyed this because it challenges me and it reminds me that I have to continuously work on my spirit man. I have to work on my mindset. I have to work on my attitude. I guess I'm the only one honest in the room. I got to work on my attitude. And how many of y'all are starting to catch yourself a little bit from this teaching? All of a sudden you hear something or you remember something, you go, oh, man. That's the Holy Spirit just trying to help you out. You know what I mean? He's a gentleman, but he wants us to walk in the right way. So we talked about that last time. The mind is the Rolodex of your thoughts and intentions. You store what you think about, meditate on, and imagine, and you must allow the Word of God to help refile, redefine, and delete thoughts that are not healthy and acceptable. Now, this is going to take a lifetime. It really will. It takes a lifetime of getting thoughts straightened out to start thinking like Christ. to start thinking like God does. And remember, a healthy mind will produce a healthy life. If you're always thinking negative of yourself, you know, you can end up being in a bad position. I'll mention this one story, and I'll redact the names, but there was a gentleman I worked with as a firefighter, and he had this issue about him that if you said, "Hey, man, you look sick," he would say, "What, really? I do?" And the next thing you know, he'd turn pale white, and he would leave the shift and go home because he was sick. Anybody ever met somebody like that? And they would talk themselves into sickness. They would talk themselves into panic attacks and all those things. That's not a healthy mind. Your mind must say, and I rebuke that. I mean, you know, it's not to where you deny reality and someone says, "Hey, man, your arm's missing." No, it's not. And, it, you know, blood spurting out everywhere, you know. No, it's still there. No, it's not there. That's just lying. But, you know, if somebody's saying something about you and trying to put a curse on you, how many know there's people who can put curses on you and they're not a witch? They just got a bad potty mouth and they talk junk to you. "Well, you know, your granny had it." You know, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't have to go through your bloodline. That doesn't have to go through your generation curse. You don't have to accept that. And so you can defeat that by speaking the word of God and having a healthy mind. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 2, we talked about that. Deep calls unto deep. We talked about the suke man. We talked about judging. In other words, the natural man, fleshly man doesn't have the ability to discern the things of God, doesn't have the ability to understand God. That's why when you have lost family members in your family and they look at you kind of weird because you go to church every week or you do what you do, it's because they can't understand, especially if they're not born again. All right, so 1 Peter 1:13, we talked about gird up the loins of your mind. Remember that? Get your mind ready for work. Get your mind ready for work. You know, I'm going to just say this, and it's not nothing for religion and ritual, but, you know, if you would gear your mind up for service, you'd get more out of it. If you'd gear your mind up for church and say, "Man, I'm going to church, man. I'm, you know, go to bed early on Saturday or whatever and just get ready and be prepared and just, man, I'm going to come in and really worship God. I'm going to do my best." You know, you get more out of the preacher that way. You get more out of God that way. Amen. It's awesome if you try it sometime. All right, battle for the mind tonight. Watch this. I'm going to read this to you. The true strength of every man, I didn't think about you ladies, but every man is not realized in what they can do physically. True strength of every man is not realized in what they can do physically. It is discovered and on full display when the body, and I put next to body, I put mind, because there's, you know, there's that attachment there. When the body is totally yielded to the spirit. I'll read it again. The true strength of every man is not realized in what they can do physically. It is discovered and on full display when the body / mind is totally yielded to their spirit. Listen, you can be the strongest man in the world and be dumb as a box of rocks. You can be the strongest man in the world and not have the proper character to live right. So I want you to write down wholeness. This is a word that we need to see tonight and go over. Wholeness, talking about the total man, spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to be whole. He wants our bodies to be whole. He wants our minds to be whole. He wants our spirit man to be whole. Okay? That goes back to being well. That goes back to being healthy. Okay? Let me give you some examples. Talking about the outward abilities. Somebody can be strong. Somebody can be athletic. Look, you can be a sports star, and you can carry the football and run, and everybody look at you and say, "Man, wow, that's awesome," and then punch your wife in the mouth in an elevator. Some of y'all know the story I'm talking about. Well, you looked all real strong, but you couldn't control your anger. You look like, you know, you're Hercules, and you're all this in a bag of chips, but you could not control your spirit man. Your spirit man could not control your body, I should say. So we see that all the time. We see that with, you know, famous people. Somebody's a singer, and next thing you know, a 3-inch needle is taking their life, and a spoon. Can sing the paint off the wall. Traveling all around the world. Everybody falling down at their feet, giving them everything. Got money and luxury homes. Had the appearance of strength. Had the appearance of having it all together. Walking down that red carpet and everybody going, oh, wow. When you didn't realize it, before they got to the red carpet, they saw three psychiatrists, popped a bunch of black beauties, and drank some vodka just to walk down the line. Y'all ain't helping me. That ain't strength to me. Let me tell you something. When you can go to bed at night knowing you and God are good, you've done your neighbor right, you've done your family right, you've done your church right, you've done people right around you, and then you wake up in the morning, man, and it's a new day, and your heart is clean, and you're singing a song, man, and you're just thankful to be alive. I don't care if you got holes in your floor. You're just thankful to be alive. I'm going to tell you something. That's a good life right there. I take that life than the Hollywood life. No different with a preacher. Man, boy, that preacher, boy, he can preach, man. He preaches. Boy, I tell you right now, that guy can preach, but he can't keep his pants up. Had the appearance of everything all together. Had the appearance of money and homes and TBN and this, you know, this place, that place, and doing all these things, but he couldn't live right with his wife. Wish I had a friend. Something is broken. There's a disconnect in people's lives. There's something that is not correct. And let me just say this. It's not always a devil or demon possession. Sometimes it's just the mind is messed up. The spirit man, there's a disconnect. The spirit man's not walking properly. Now, when somebody's not born again, obviously that side of their being is dead. They live in the carnal side of things. But there are so many believers, I'm speaking to believers tonight, that have such a disconnect between their spirit man and their psuche, their solical man, the seat of their passion and the seat of their desire, to where that thing is on supercharge, all go, man, all gas, and their flesh just goes wild. Amen. So we're going to try to fix that tonight. We're going to try to look at this and see how can we get ourselves in order. So let's make some proof of that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and watch this. We're going to go to verse 14. You know, people make mistakes. We make mistakes. Our flesh is weak. We do stupid stuff. We say stupid stuff. You know, we get a little upset in Walmart. Okay, we get really upset in Walmart. You know, we go through the drive-through, and it should be 30 minutes and 30 seconds. And it turns out to be 10 minutes and 15 seconds, and we're mad. And the fries are cold. Is anybody here? But these things here, you know, those are things that we deal with. That's part of our character and our personality and our flesh, and we're fighting it. But there's some deep-rooted problems the church really needs to fix. And I believe if you listen to the Battle for the Mind, you can get some help, and you don't need to lay on no couch with some Dr. Quackenberry. At $200 an hour with a gold watch that you help pay for it, he says, look into the watch. I ain't looking to no watch. You ain't going to try to hypnotize me. First of all, that's of the devil. It ain't happening to me. I ain't losing my consciousness. You ain't going to try to put me in no altered state of nothing. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. All right, let me go on. Watch this. Verse 14, you there? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Now, that word infirmity can be translated and moved around to bring you to the understanding of problems, pains, troubles, infirmity, okay? So it's not just sickness. Some translations say sickness. It's just not that alone. But a wounded spirit, who can bear. Okay? So when he talks about the spirit of a man, he's talking about the ruach of man. And I've given that to you many times in our teaching, that 7307, 7307, the ruach of God, which means the life, the wind, the spirit, the mind, the breath. Remember, God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. So the ruach, the life, the breath, the wind, the mind of a man will sustain his infirmity. But when it's broken, who can bear it? In other words, when a man's spirit, when the soulical part of him has a disconnect, when there's an issue, when there's a short wire, when there's something ain't right, when there's a breakdown, he says, who can bear it? Well, obviously the answer is only God can, because you and I can't bear it when we're broken. And there's so many broken people in the church today, broken from your past, broken from marriages, broken from this, broken from addictions, broken, broken, broken. And it spills over into our physical life. It spills over into our emotional side. It spills over into our relationships. We can't have relationships. We can't hold friendships. We can't have this. And we become almost alienated to a normal life because something's broken in the mind. And the disconnect is between the mindset that's of God, energized by the Spirit. That disconnect is found, and we have to bring that back together. We have to let the Holy Spirit fix some of the things in our mind. Is that all right? This isn't Dr. Phil stuff. This is Bible. This is Bible, because every one of us who were lost in the world, we were just broken things, man. I mean, we were pitiful. I know some of y'all had it all together, and you were, you know, whatever. But me, man, at the end of my walk with the devil, I was physically a wreck. I was mentally a wreck. I mean, I was emotionally a wreck. I was tapped. I'd done so much, I couldn't go very much further. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I always tell everybody, I say, man, it was either jail, the hospital, or hell. That's it. That's the only place I was going. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there too. Like I said, we were definitely neighbors. Just looking at you, I could tell. That's why we get along so good. Thank God we're not living back in them days. But see what we can do for Jesus? See what we can do now? Man, we're going to do some damage to the devil. So here's the reality. We're all at that place. We were all at that place. But what happened? There was a disconnect. There was something that was messed up. And we find ourselves struggling to get to that place God wants us to be. Am I the only one in the room dealing with this? It must not be. I hope not. Now I'm going to help you get there. Watch. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The word wounded there is nake, N-A-K-E. That's 5218, 5218 or 5218. And you can spell it, how are you? 5218 or 5218? Mike, you got to help people out, don't you? N-A-K-E, N-A-K-E, nake. Okay, watch this. The word wounded means broken. I just mentioned the problem, the disconnect. It means to be broken. So the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but when it's broken, who can bear it? There's so many broken people out there. So we know the answer. The answer is God. So how do we get God on the scene? Well, here it is. We need to build the inner man for a healthy, holy, whole life, a wholesome life, a sound life. That sounds pretty easy, don't it? Sounds, you know, like something, cheap ingredient, cheap instructions, cheap recipe, but it's not. It's the key to living healthy. It's the key to living whole in God. It's the key to growing. It's the key to having a deep, intimate worship relationship with God that's second to none. You got to look at relationship like that. Say, man, my relationship with God's second to none. I don't know what yours is, but mine is awesome. Yeah, amen? Go to Ephesians. Now, let's break all this down. Let's figure it out. You know, it's nice to preach precept and teach precept, but give me a little bit of, give me some muscle behind this hustle here, and let's get into reality. Hustle behind the muscle. You have to remember Rocky V to know that. If you don't know Rocky V, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Those that know Rocky V are shaking their head up and down saying, yeah, it's time to put some hustle behind this muscle. All right. Are you there? Where are we at, Ephesians chapter 3? Is he in the Bible or is he in the hymnal? Well, we don't have hymnals here, sorry. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Man, I want to read this whole chapter and teach it all. So let's, It's all good. It's like, what part of the donut do you start eating? You just swallow it, right? That's what John was going, I don't have a problem with that. Especially the mini ones. All right, verse 14. Some of y'all haven't had dinner yet. Verse 14, watch this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the what? Inner man. Now, first of all, when you read that he would grant, that doesn't have a maybe in it. That isn't a so-so. Because a lot of times when we hear, maybe God doesn't want me to have it. No, he's going to grant it to you. He wants you to have this, okay? This is part of your package, your salvation package, your discipleship package, your growing package that he has for you. That he would grant you, or give you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he wants you to be strengthened in your inner man. To make means to grow. To make strong means to grow. He said, I want you to grow. Again, no offense to somebody, you know, that's been in a church a long time, but if you haven't grown, if you don't have a deeper revelation of God, if your prayer life hasn't surpassed 3 minutes a day, let me get over here, and you've been in church 20 years, you haven't grown. Either you're sitting underneath a 6-foot icicle that isn't giving you life and challenging you, or you just, there's something wrong. You know, you may have a little, you know. No, I'm not even going to say that because, see, I believe our relationships all around us should grow and grow and grow and grow. I really do. Wives, husbands, I think our relationships should grow. The intimacy should grow. The word should grow. Everything should grow in our lives. We should just go from glory to glory. So I don't think you should ever, ever lack in or slow down your relationships around you, especially not with God. Amen? So watch this. See, he wants you to be strengthened with might. Everybody say might. That's dunamis right there. That's dunamis. This ain't might, a little bit of, you know, a little flicker, a little 9-volt. He said this is with dunamis, that dunamis power. Everybody knows what dunamis is. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called inherent power. It's inside of you. It's like a dynamo. Supernatural power. Yeah, that's where we get the word dynamite from. You shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost comes upon you. So he says, I want you to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's might and his strength that comes into your inner man and builds you up and strengthens you. And when you have that inner man strengthened, that's what causes your mind to reconnect with the things of God. It's broken. If you're going through an issue, if you're going through a time of depression, you're going through a time of separation from God and people get lukewarm and they backslide, man, you got to regenerate that relationship and you've got to rekindle that fire and let the Holy Spirit bring and energize your inner man to a new relationship with God. Now watch. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Watch the progression here. He said, I'm granting you this supernatural strength to grow so that you can have Christ dwell in you. This isn't a weekend warrior thing. This isn't visitations once in a while and then he goes somewhere else. Dwell means to inhabit, to really hang out with you, to really hang out with me. But see, if my inner man isn't strong enough, then how can I house him in his glory? Because I will be too carnal on one side, I wouldn't want his presence. Watch it now. Or I'm being so carnal and in the flesh, he wouldn't want to visit me. But if I allow that dynamite power of the Holy Spirit that's been granted to me to strengthen my inner man, to cause my mind to get straight and have the mind of Christ, to cause my flesh to say, honey, you're going to live holy. You're going to do the right thing. Eyes, you're going to look the right way. Ears, you're going to hear the right thing. Mouth, you're going to say the right thing. Hands, you're going to touch the right way. And feet, you're going to walk the right path. It's called a highway of holiness.
Well, that's just too much work.
Well, then sit on the sidelines. Allow the enemy to use you as a trash bag. Allow the enemy to bust you up inside and bust your head up and have all kinds of, you know, craziness going on. Watch this. The Holy Spirit, I want you to write this down. The Holy Spirit is the fountain of spiritual strength. The Holy Spirit is the fountain of spiritual strength, energy. If you don't like strength, and you need some energy, don't go buy 5-hour. Go get the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, fill me. 5-hour will give you the jitters. The Holy Spirit, man, will give you goosebumps. Woo-wee. Make you feel good. Make you feel good about love and life. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is a fountain of spiritual strength. Jesus is the bread of life. I got to feed and I got to drink the spiritual things of God. I've got to eat the spiritual food of God. I've got to eat angel food. I've got to eat things of God if I'm going to be strong. This is basics, but so many Christians struggle because they spend more time feeding their head with entertainment, crazy music. I don't care if it's boop or it's I miss my dog. I miss my cat. I don't know where I left my hat. And you make $1 million. I can make $1 million right now with something stupid like that. All you got to do is play in one bar.
Man, that was awesome, man.
That was the stupidest song I ever heard in my life. Get it on like Donkey Kong. I mean, whatever. And $1 million. $1 million dummy. That's America. Now, if anybody steals that song, you better split some money with me. Is anybody here? Talking about the inner man. I want to go back to that the verse about the inner man because I want to give you the word for inner man. You ready? Here it is. ESO. ESO. Or ESO, however you want to pronounce it. And that is, I think I wrote it in Hebrew. I think that's 2080. Had to relook at that. But find that word if you want to study it out. That's the inner man. All right, watch. It's talking about the inner man. It means the soul and the conscience. The soul in the conscience. So again, if he's the fountain of life, if he's that strength, if he's that energy, and Jesus is the bread of life, he's everything, man. He's everything we could ever need. It energizes. He energizes. These things I just said, they energize your inner man. And that's how you become alive unto Christ and strengthened every day. Listen, especially if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you ought to pray in tongues every day, every single day. Especially when, man, I'm going to tell you something. When I don't know what to do, I pray in the Holy Ghost. When I get disturbed in my spirit, how many of y'all know what you're talking about? Just get really disturbed, buddy. I pray in the Holy Ghost until something breaks, something fixes, and I get that out of there. You need to do it. And you say, well, I haven't received the baptism. Well, you need to. And if you haven't, read the Word. Get the Bible. Walk around your office. There used to be a thing in the church called walking the floor. We don't walk the floor anymore. Remember that old terminology in the church? Walk the floor. Just take that Bible and walk the floor and say, in Jesus' name, man, my son's going to be saved or whatever. Just praise God until something breaks. Used to be tearing at the altar. People don't tarry at the altar anymore. No, they want microwave Christianity. They want the preacher to do it all. They want him to spend time in prayer and be anointed and lay hands. No, you need to go do it. Because I'm probably not coming at your house at 3 a.m. I'll get there at 6 when coffee's ready. Some flapjacks and something. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We got to pray for ourselves. So good. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By faith, I got to work everything out by faith. God will never create a world where faith is not needed. I have to live by faith. You have to live by faith. And so I do these things and I say, God, I invite you to dwell by faith in me. What's he say next? that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Woo. Watch this. The anointing, or the anointed one in his anointing, talking about Christ. Through faith, I believe that he dwells in me. And as I, watch this, as I build my inner man up through the things I just told you, I begin to realize to a greater degree him abiding in me, his presence around me, miracles and blessings taking place. All of a sudden, heaven begins to open up. I realize more about him. I hear more about him through faith and the manifestation of his presence. Some people say, man, I wish I could hear from God and all that. You can hear from God. Well, I sure wish his presence is here. His presence is your home. You just have to invite him and build that place to where he is just so invited. You know, this may be, some people might get offended by this, but it's okay. It's the truth anyways. There's a lot of reasons why God doesn't visit certain churches. He's not invited. Not the Holy Spirit. There's a resemblance of God. There's a steeple, there's a cross, and there's people, and there's all the stuff that shows religiosity. But if there's no hunger in the inner man, if there's been no building up an expectation of God and worship and desire, the Holy Spirit's not there, not in the fullness he could be, not in the fullness that he wants to be, because we haven't seen yet what God is going to do to the church when the church really, really starts to hunger and thirst after him. I'm showing it to you right here. And he says, you'll be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, here's the word for rooted. I'm just going to give you the definition. To fix. It also means to thoroughly ground or be thoroughly grounded. So to be rooted is to be fixed, to be thoroughly grounded, to be completely grounded. How many of y'all have ever built something that's supposed to have a foundation? You didn't do too good job in the foundation part, and it was weebly wobbly. Me, I will admit that. I thought I knew what I was doing. I threw the instructions away, and I started with the top, and then I worked my, and all the books leaned to the left, the TV leaned it forward. You know what I'm talking about. But if I do it according to the pattern, if I do it according to the blueprint, and I do it according to the Word of God, watch. He says, you're going to be rooted and you're going to be grounded. You're going to be fixed. You're going to be thoroughly grounded. In other words, man, when the wind comes against you and adversity comes against you and bad news comes to you and things hit your mind and people say all kinds of stuff about you, boom, man, you are rooted and you're grounded in the love of Christ because he dwells in you. The love of God is what? Shed abroad in my heart by who? The Holy Ghost. So when those things hit me and the storms of life hit me and things hit me and all these things go on me, around me, I stand firm. You stand firm knowing that God is for you and not against you and he loves you. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean you don't think about it. It just means you're not going to end up in a psychiatric ward. You ain't going to end up a bunch of drugs pumping you full because they don't even know what it does. Don't you love it when they tell you, here, take this medication. Okay, it's going to, you know, it's going to help a part of your body and help your life, but you're going to have bleeding of the eyes. You know, your foot's going to fall asleep all the time. I mean, it's just like a list of bad things. It's like, wow. I'm not making fun of medication. I'm not making fun of people who take medication. My point is this, that if I am rooted and grounded in the love of God, if I am stable in him, no matter the adversity, no matter the infirmity, no matter what comes against us, we can stand strong and we won't be like everybody else pulling our hair out and saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? How many of you know what I'm talking about? The worst thing to do is to see a Christian panic. For me, as a believer, I'm separating myself as a pastor. Just as a believer, I can't. It's hard for me to see people panic when they know the Word of God. We should never panic. We should never worry. We should never sit there and twist our fingers and say, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" All you have to do when that happens is remember how He took you out of all the craziness you've been in. Y'all should be dead. You shouldn't be here. You know that. I shouldn't be here either. But by the grace of God, right? So watch this. Verse 18. You may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of what? He's talking about love. See, now we're entering into a fruitful life. Now watch this for the word comprehend. You ready? Here's the definition. To lay hold of, to apprehend, to fully catch. And I wrote in my notes, I got it. I got it. That you may be able to comprehend. I got it. That I may be able to catch, that I may be able to understand, to apprehend what? What are you talking about? Right here. That I would apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. That's the end thing right there. Not to get more money and bigger homes and more land and more this and more that and bigger buildings and churches and all that stuff. Man, that I may know the totality of the dimension of God. That I would know God in four dimensions. God lives in the fourth dimension. We only can see in three dimensions. We don't comprehend that other dimension that's in the spirit where God is, not to the fullness that we need to. But here it says, we can grab hold of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The word know is for intimacy. The love of Christ. He wants us to know, which passes knowledge. It means to exceed and excel, to throw past something, to go beyond the mark. His love. Now remember this. The love of Christ shows us the love of God. The love of Christ shows us the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bless you. Is that right? So the love of Christ, what he did on the cross, showed us the love of God. And so he's teaching us here. Paul is saying, listen, in your inner man, be strengthened by the fountain of life, which is the Holy Spirit. Be strengthened by his glory, by his power. And as you do, there's a connection. There's a reconnection, if you will, to your mind and to your understanding that you can comprehend and grab hold of the love of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. So he said, look, you're going to have the knowledge. I want you to have the knowledge of the love of God. I want you to understand the dimensions of God. I want you to understand that Christ wants to dwell in you. And he said it's going to work inside of you. Energeo is the word. Energeo, E-N-E-R-G-E-O, for worketh. That's 1754. That's effectual, fervent. That's the strength of the inner man. The feeding of our faith. Do you see this with me? To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So let's recap this and we'll get out of here. There's a disconnect in our lives. You may be going through something right now. Those listening to me right now, you're going through some things, man. You got disconnect. You're dealing. You're struggling. It could be past addictions. It could be past struggles, past thoughts. You know, some people deal with nightmares, dealing with all kinds of things in their life. Here's the deal. God wants you and I to be whole in our mindset so that we can think right, so that we can talk right, we can live right, and we can love right. But it only can happen when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to feed us. How do you have the Holy Spirit feed you? Right there, the Bible. The Bible. Speak the word of God over your life. I've encouraged people all the time, and I'm going to say it again and again. Get you CDs of the Bible. If you don't have a player that plays it all night long, maybe you can get on the internet and play the word of God while you sleep. If you can't do that, put it in your car, put it in your truck, do something, get it in your scooter, whatever, and just get the word of God permeating your mind and getting you the strength that you need. Listen, if you got problems with anger, read the book of Psalms. If you're dealing with anger and you're aggressive, read Psalms. Psalms is very, very soothing to the soul. It's about love and so many great things. And wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. And so on and so forth. And this is very basic, but we don't teach this anymore because pastors want their people codependent on them. I don't want you codependent on me, man. You better find the Holy Spirit. You better get help from God. You better read the Bible for yourself. Amen. And so as that happens and as you build that inner man, Christ begins to dwell in you. Now think about that for a second. Christ begins to dwell in you. Do you want more of God? Well, one of you, good. Glad you're here for Wednesday night. You want more of God. You want him to dwell in you. Well, you got to give him access. You got to give him room. You got to give him permission to move around. It's no different if I came to your house and you only said I can stay in one spot. That's it. Come on in. I wouldn't be there long. I mean, I'm looking for a chair. Nah, you're good right there. Could you imagine? You ever visit someone's house and they kept you right at the foyer? I've had a lot of conversations at the foyer. And I'm looking at that big chair over there. And I'm thinking, man, that lazy boy would fit me just right. But for some reason, I can't get past the foyer. But that's the way it is with Jesus and with Christ, you know, with the Holy Spirit in relationship with God. We only let him in the kitchen. Or we only let him in the foyer. Or we don't let him on the screen porch. We just want you right there. That's good. Take care of my yard. Don't let no evil demons get me, Jesus. Yeah, but I like to come in. It's raining. No, you're okay out there because there's stuff in here I don't want you to see. There's conversations I'm having. You don't need to be in here. You're good where you are. Just don't let me die. Come on, somebody. And then we let him in the house, and we get a folding chair. Well, no, that grandma gave me that chair right there, Jesus. I can't let you sit on that chair. So here's a folding chair. I hope it don't break on you. We're going to eat dinner. If you want to wait here, we got a card table you can sit on. I know it's funny, but the reality is we don't let Jesus come in the house and say, woohoo, come on in, Jesus, let's party. Do what you want to do, Lord, go ahead. Because next thing he's going to do, he's going to start rearranging stuff. In fact, in some homes, he's going to go take a whip, and he's going to start tearing stuff up. First thing he's probably going to do is knock your satellite dish off. Anyways, I'm having fun. But it's true. We don't let him get too far, and especially in the intimate part of our home and the intimate part of our life, we just tell him, no, I mean, there's limits. Let me tell you something. If you want him to dwell in your heart large, and you want your spirit man large, and you want your mind to be the mind of Christ, let him in. Let him wreck some stuff. Let him rearrange some stuff in your life. Let him go through your pantry and find stuff that doesn't belong there, or your magazine rack, or your internet files, or whatever. Amen. It's good preaching for a Wednesday. And we didn't charge nothing tonight. So the strength of the inner man, the feeding of your faith will open dimensions of God's love, power, and glory that will supersede every desire, need, and want. Let me give you one last scripture, John 10:10. We know the thief comes, kill, and destroy, and all that stuff, but let me give you the good part. Jesus said he would do what? Give you life and life more abundantly. The word life there is Zoe. Zoe. 222. 222. In the Greek, life beyond measure is what it means. One definition. So Jesus said, I'll give you life and life more abundantly. So life beyond measure. That doesn't mean stuff, status, and goodies and gold. That means the Zoe, the abundant life of Him. To where it's overflowing in you and people can see the life of God. No different than when Smith Wigglesworth walked the earth and people would sit down and say, my God, you convict me. When he stayed at the home of this one minister's home and the husband wasn't saved and he spent the night in the room and he woke up the next morning and he told the caregiver, the wife of the house said, don't change the sheets. And the husband came home from drinking real late at night and he rolled in the bed. And next thing you knew, he jumped out of bed and said, my, he was on fire. And he got saved. What is that? Life more abundantly. Life in Christ more abundantly. Here's the second definition. I'll get out of your way. Absolute fullness of life. We've missed this in the hyper faith church. We've missed this when we think it's all about money and stuff and bank accounts and all this stuff. It's not. It's life and life more abundantly. The abundant life of Jesus, man. You ever get around somebody that's so full of life of God and it gets contagious, man, and you want to be around them? You're like, man, that guy, that girl really loves Jesus. Instead of some old sloppy agape person.
We ain't going to church. Got to hear the pastor again. It's going to take up an offering, I guarantee it.
You know what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to be around that. I really don't. I don't. Anyways, God is good. So what are we going to do? We're going to feed our faith. We're going to starve our doubts to death. And we're going to build our inner man in the Holy Ghost. Father, love you. Thank you for the mind of Christ. You're building us up. We're going to take these truths. We're going to listen to the word of God. We're going to be developed in our inner man by the fountain of life of the Holy Spirit. We're going to partake of the bread of life. We're going to drink the new wine of the new covenant. We're going to take everything that you said is ours to build the inner man up so Jesus can dwell in us in a mighty way. Bless your people, Father. I speak healing over everybody, and I look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, don't forget to pray for. Hey, don't forget to pray for. Hey, don't forget.